Hi, I'm Monty Sharp, and I'd like to welcome you to the Gatekeepers Initiative. What in the world is a gatekeeper, you may ask? I'm so glad you ask. The world's gatekeepers proclaim that they're protecting their community, but in reality, they're elevating themselves by denying others entrance to their community by belittling and devaluing them. God's gatekeepers protect their communities through loving devotion to those around them. They're there to encourage that which is good and reject that which brings harm. So let's take a deeper dive today in how God is calling you to be a gatekeeper. Welcome back to another broadcast. I'm glad that you're here with us again today. Going to be talking about freedom today. Not that it's important, of course. I love the fact that we can talk about freedom, that we have the freedom to talk about freedom in this country. Freedom is something that Jesus talks a lot about in the scriptures. And it's an appropriate time to do it because we're getting near to the 4th of July, which is a celebration of the freedom of our country. So let's crank it up and dive into it. You ready for that deeper dive? I hope so. Here we go. Freedom is, in fact, the heart of God. It's the purpose of Christ's sacrifice, to set us free. Are we walking that freedom today? We see in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and don't be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Did you hear that? In verse 13, for you were called to freedom, my brethren. Did you hear that? That's a calling of Christ to us, to not walk in bondage anymore, but to walk in freedom. Jesus tells us that he came to set the captives and the downtrodden free in Luke 4:18. And in John 8:31 and 32, if you'll abide in my words, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free. That's right. In verse 36, therefore, if the Son of Man shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. Freedom is also a critical topic in the lives of American citizens. And it's also good timing, like I said, because we're just getting ready to be able to celebrate the 4th of July. It's a topic that's so often near to our lips today, but often far from our hearts, especially far from our understanding. Most of us have a hard time understanding that Christ set us free from the works of the law. He set us free to enjoy justification just as if we never sinned. He set us free to enjoy righteousness by faith in Christ that he purchased for us on the cross at Calvary. And we need to stand firm in the truth of that freedom. It's all about Jesus. It's not about our self-efforts, our self-righteousness, our self-justification, our self-salvation, our self-sanctification. We can't earn any of that. We can't do any of that. Jesus did it all for us on the cross at Calvary. So we need to get over ourselves and walk in the freedom that Jesus has purchased for us, enjoying it and celebrating it and sharing it with others. He purchased it at the cross at Calvary, and we need to be saying thank you. Do I hear an amen on that one? I hope so. But the book of Galatians only scratches the surface on the subject of freedom. So I'd like to unpack the subject a little more today, especially the universal principles and truths that are reflected in the scriptures and as they relate to us and our nation. Freedom is a great and wonderful, amazing gift that God has given mankind. And he gave it to us even at the beginning of creation. We see Genesis 2:16, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. There it is. You may eat freely, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God gave man freedom to eat or to not eat. He gave him free will. And we love our freedoms. But we're so hamstrung and hindered and frustrated by the lack of understanding about them. So let's start unpacking some of the universal principles and the truths related to freedom. The first one is that freedom isn't free. It costs. It costs something or somebody for us to be able to acquire it and to sustain it. It involves sacrifice of some kind. Hebrews 10:12 says, But Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus sacrificed, paid the penalty, the costs for our freedoms from sin. And the ultimate benefit of that is that we're free to become a member of the family of God. We don't work our way into it. We're invited into it. That's where we can experience the abundance of life and eternal life that it talks about in John 10:10 and John 3:16. Ephesians 2:89 says, "We've been saved by grace. It's a free gift of God. It's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast." But it wasn't free because it cost Jesus his life. So freedoms that we enjoy as a nation have always been purchased through the blood and treasure and sacrifices of our nation's founders and the thousands, the tens of thousands of people that have fought and died for them through the years. So let's remember freedom isn't free and appreciate those who paid so dearly and sacrificed for its cost. We need to be regularly thinking about Jesus and thanking him for it. And our servicemen and women, we need to be thanking them for what they've been willing to pay to be able to keep our freedom free, not just for us, but for our friends and families too. Second principle about freedom, freedom involves faith. Acts 13:39 says, "Through Christ, everyone who believes is freed from all the things which he could not be freed through the law of Moses." Genesis 3:22 says, "But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law." Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith turns the unseen into the seen and hope into assurance. And in the same way, if our founding fathers didn't have faith in God, that all men were endowed with by their Creator with certain and unalienable rights, among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, they would never have had the courage or justification for their fight against the tyranny of England and the freedom for Americas. Our founding fathers were men of faith. 93% of the 55 signers of the Constitution were members of Christian churches. The University of Houston collected and cataloged 15,000 writings by our founding fathers. 94% of those were quotes based upon the Bible, 34% directly from its pages, and 60% by men who used the Bible to arrive at their own conclusions. Are we trusting and seeking in God and His promises and His providence in our lives and also in the lives of our country? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it in vain. If not, we're probably walking in fear and frustration and fatigue instead of His freedom. Third principle that we find is that it's freedom's nature to give and not to take. Matthew 10:8 tells us that freely you have received, now freely give. That's where the Lord wants us to be. Our founding fathers believed God gives certain unalienable rights to all men, and believed it was the right of these people to give their chosen government certain powers and authority to protect those individual rights. All of this being enumerated in the Declaration of Independence and Constitution and its amendments. God gives us freedom, but it's important to recognize that that freedom is given to us so that we can freely give to others. And we as a nation have been really good at that. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Fourth principle, we see in Jeremiah 15:11, it says, "The Lord said, surely I will set you free for the purposes of good. Surely I will set you free for the purposes of good." I think that's a founding statement of why America was created. God created America so that it would do good in the world. And our nation has done more good in the world than any other nation in the history of mankind, because the greatest good of all is the propagation of the gospel of Christ. And no nation has ever shared Jesus as much as we have. We see that with freedom, the fourth principle is, with freedom comes responsibility. Luke 12:48 says, "To whom much is given, much is required." Galatians 5:13, "Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Philippians 2, 3 through 4, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Our founding fathers pledged their lives, their liberty, and their fortunes to the pursuit of our freedoms, and it has been the pattern of our country throughout its history. We're the first to give our blood and treasure to help others around the world. Even our enemies, that as we win different wars, Japan, when they bombed us and started World War II with us, and we ended up afterwards going in and helping rebuild their nation and becoming their protection, providing an army for them. Germany, same way in World War II, came and attacked us, and we helped to be able to restore Germany. Russia recently has been the, through the Cold War, the enemy of America. And when the Iron Curtain fell, we were the first ones to invest monies to help establish businesses and help restore the country. Our State Department regularly helps establish businesses around the world in different nations to be able to help them be more self-sufficient. John F. Kennedy said it well in his 1961 inaugural address. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And finally, let us go forth and lead this land we love, asking His blessing, His help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. That's the heart that God has given to America. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., said after being wounded three times during the war, said in a Memorial Day address in 1884, "It is now the moment when by common consent we pause to become conscious of the national life and rejoice to it in it, to recall what our country has done for each of us, and to ask ourselves what we can do for our country in return." Are we mindful of the responsibilities our freedom requires of us? Are we asking what we can do for the cause of Christ and our nation? Are we always asking, or are we always asking what they can do for us? We've been set free for the purpose of good. And again, let me remind each of us, there's no greater good that we can do for our country or for the world than share the love of Jesus Christ with those who are around us. The fifth principle of freedom that we talk about today is that freedom is built upon the foundation of truth. Yeah, truth. It's not my feelings. It's not a half-truth, which is a whole lie. It's built upon the foundation of truth. Again, John 8, 31 and 32. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Therefore, the Son sets you free, then you shall be free indeed. Romans 1, 25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they came into bondage and declivity, we see in verse 32. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. And what is the source of truth? Psalm 119:160, the sum of thy word, O Lord, is truth. Again, our founding fathers proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unalienable rights, rights that cannot be surrendered, that cannot be given away, that could not be taken away. God has given them to us, and freedom is one of those rights. Today, pundits and politicians regularly spin their lies into truth. Hitler said, if you tell the lie loud enough and long enough, it becomes the truth. Linda came along and just said, if you just tell it often enough, it becomes the truth. And we allow them to do it by not standing for the truth. If we won't stand for the truth, we will fall for anything, and our freedoms will fall with us. Without truth as the moral fiber of our families and our societies, we will crumble. Without it, a man runs free to do unto others without restraint or conscience. It's a truth that moves people out of harm's way if they'll follow it. It's a lie that leads to declivity and destruction. Jeremiah 13, 24 and 25 says, I will scatter them like drifting straw to the desert wind, because they have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. And where do we find this truth? From the author of truth himself, and that is Jesus and his word. Horace Greeley, editor of the New York Tribune, America's most influential newspaper from 1840s to the 1870s, wrote, it is impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. And we are in desperate need of that truth today. Will Durant, America's writer, historian, and philosopher, said, have we too much freedom? Have we so long ridiculed authority in the family, discipline in education, rules in art, decency in conduct, the law in the state, that our liberation has brought us close to chaos in the family and in the school, in morals, in art, in ideas, and government? We forgot to make ourselves intelligent when we made ourselves free. Daniel Webster says, if we abide by the principles taught by the Bible, our country will go on prospering. Are we standing for the truth, lovingly helping our pundits and politicians and fellow believers into the freedom of truth, and doing so by exposing our own hearts to the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help us, God? Are we doing this on a regular basis first, that so that my mouth could speak out of the abundance of my heart? I hope so. We need to return to that. Whitaker Chambers, 1901 through 1961, an American writer and editor, a former communist spy before he recanted and defected to the West, said, freedom is a need of the soul and nothing else. It is in striving towards God that the soul strives continually after a condition of freedom. And God alone is the inciter and the guarantor of freedom. He is the only guarantor. External freedom is only an aspect of interior freedom. Political freedom, as the Western world has known it, is only a political reading of the Bible. Religion and freedom are indivisible. Without freedom, the soul dies, and without the soul, there is no justification for freedom. So finally, let me wrap this up by saying we need to freely give to others a healthy understanding of what freedom really looks like. In all of our walk with Jesus and across this nation, we need to make sure that people understand the truth about what freedom's all about and its source in Jesus, and that they are not alone, that there are others that are there like us that want to make a difference in their life. Harriet Tubman, an escaped slave, who helped many others escape, said it well when she said, I had crossed the line of which I had so long been dreaming. I was free, but there was no one to welcome me in the land of the freedom. I was a stranger in a strange land. My brothers and sisters, may we always, with Jesus' help, be there to set the captive free, being sacrificially faith-filled givers and not takers, being responsible truth-sayers. So help us, God, for the sake of your name and for the sake of those who so desperately need freedom in their lives. And finally, Lord, let us be not only seekers of freedom for our nation, but for every nation and every people around the world. And Lord, we know only you can give that. Amen and amen. So if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts, so you don't miss another episode of Monty Sharp and the Gatekeepers Initiative. Don't forget, each of us has our gates of influence in our lives that can radically change the world around us. Thanks again for joining us today. I'm looking forward to being with you again next time May the Lord richly and wonderfully bless you.